19 minutes after 5, and time for this week's Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, right between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant, and Crossroads Beverage, located for now at 66 Main Street in Newport, right behind Rite Aid and just off the Moosehead Trail. Eric Meehan in studio with us.
Hello.
Welcome, sir.
That was fantastic. I had to have Ryan turn button down my headphones.
Were your ears exploding?
Well, my own, yeah.
Your own guitar.
My own guitar playing was blowing my brains out. It was good.
Well, it usually blows my mind, so we're even.
Thank you all. Yeah, actually, I was thinking the other day, my band is now covering Message in a Bottle from the famed, you know, The Police. Mm-hmm. And we should re-record that to do that to be the intro for this.
That would be great.
I don't think I can afford their prices, though. Oh, that's the thing. I came cheap. So what's going on? We're talking wine. I've been listening to the whole show, and you've had such a diverse array of guests.
We have today, chatting
about that very thing. I'm glad to know I brought the wine to the dinner. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
We do need food. I was going to say, get Riccio to bring some stuff. Isn't he doing a food bit?
Yeah, we've talked about that, getting him here in studio with some food.
We'll do a crash. We'll crash it together, and we'll feast while the people in Seasons are like, what is going on in there?
I love it. Sounds good to me. We're talking Chablis this week.
Chablis. So if everybody recalls, this month we're talking appellations, and appellations have to do with what the wine is called. That's what I'm talking about. It's dueling banjos. Dueling Chablis. That's what we're doing today. So appellation is what the wine's called, right? So like when we're talking about the fact that champagne has to be a method champenoise wine from the region of Champagne. So and a lot of California winemakers and other winemakers the world over sort of absconded with some of these very famous appellations, these regional names for these wines. Very often, you know, with folks coming back from the theater of war in World War I, World War II, and capitalized on the growing American thirst for these things. And then recently, there have been a lot of examples of these individual appellations and greater nations going after people like that. So one of the famous wines, as we were talking about, is Chablis, right? The Jug of Chablis, which is very often a sweet white wine, which is hilarious once we taste these wines today. Chablis is how it's properly pronounced. And what we're going to be talking about today is some of these appellations came about because of agricultural reasons, right? Like there's a given reason why a group of growers and lawmakers thought that grapes grown in a certain region were special-er and deserved special recognition than other grapes. And what we're talking about today is two different parts of this microregion of Chablis, which is Chardonnay by law. Again, that's part of the appellation laws, is that it mandates that it has to be Chardonnay. And it's part of the Burgundy region, but it's separated from the Burgundy region by about 60 kilometers. And it's special because the subsoil is ancient seabed. Actually, some of the champagne that we had last week that Ryan enjoyed so well is grown on some of that ancient seabed just a little farther north in the Champagne region. It's called the Kimmeridgian soil. And then there's a slightly different ancient seabed, slightly less ancient, that is called the Portlandian soil. Some of the differences. So we're drinking a Petit Chablis and a Chablis. This Petit Chablis is not smaller. It does not come with a smaller
bottle.
The bottles are the same size. What it really has to do, and also it has to do sometimes with orientation to south southwest and in a pitch of the vineyard. And so we're going to try these two wines today, and there's no right or wrong, but I find it very, very interesting because they're remarkably, you know, bracing, beautiful wines, as all good Chablis should be. That ancient sea subsoil gives you a lot of minerality and chalkiness. Mm. Sometimes people say that Chablis smells like gunflint because of that sort of stoniness. And so the first wine we have here is Domaine d'Hélice. Domaine d'Hélice is one of my favorite wineries in the world because the proprietor is absolutely insane. No, it's not. It's not. He encourages the thought that he is insane when we were going up to his little place. So Petit Chablis, one of the things is that the Chablis is just a little town. Like you pass through it, you blink, you miss it. There's like one steeple. But there's this huge hillside that dominates the north end of the town, and that is where all the great or grand crew and a lot of the premier crew, which is the second great, the vice great, vineyards are. But then there's these outlying places on the hills that overlook the town, and my friend who is the importer is saying it's very, very hard to get there, and we got to go, and there's a lot of back roads, and I don't want to take them because there's people up here with shotguns and stuff like that. And we finally pull out into this what looks like a lunar landscape, because this ancient sea soil, once exposed, is very white, and it almost glows. And there's this man with very large hair waving us away, and I'm in the second car, and I go up to the first car where the importer is, and I say, should we turn around? I mean, there's not, you know, we could back up first, and then you could. And the importer's like, no, that's him. Oh, and crazy man. Makes his wine in stainless steel tanks, as most Chablis makers do, to sort of retain that vivacity. What do you guys think? Do you like this? I mean, I like this.
This has got I don't know the word, but there's a character to this.
Mm.
I dig it. It's clean.
Mm.
It's clean. That's one of the things that, and of course, you know, a lot of Chablis makers used to make things in barrel and ferment in barrel, and nowadays just the higher end stuff goes in barrel. But I like the fact that, again, it retains that zip.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very beautiful wine.
That is wonderful.
So that is a Petit Chablis. And he also has holdings. It's all 4 hectares. It's a very, very small little holding. And about 2.3 of them are Chablis, and the rest is Petit Chablis. And it's literally a slight incline that delineates the two. So it's very interesting. So now we'll move on to the Chablis. This is from that famed hillside vineyards that sort of, as I said, dominate the north end of the town. And I invite you guys and of course, you know, folks at home, if you're ever, you know, tasting the difference between Chablis and Petit Chablis, it's not that Chablis is any different. It's just, again, that it comes from vineyards that are deemed the proper inclination. So I will pour. I know I already gave Ryan some.
Mm. There's a little afterburn, a little warmth to that, though, that I didn't expect.
That's actually an interesting thing to say, in particular, because one of the other laws in Chablis and in a lot of other places where there's different specificities in the appellation in terms of, you know, Petit Chablis, Chablis, Chablis Premier Cru, Chablis Grand Cru, is the alcohol intensity. You must have a minimum alcohol level as you go up. And it's very baseline for Chablis itself. It's like 9.5% alcohol, which doesn't sound like a lot given our, you know, American wines that top out at 14.5 and higher. But of course, in Burgundy, and especially this is northern Burgundy, ripeness is not as easy to attain as one might think.
Hmm. Very nice as well. Crisp. Clean.
I feel like the second one is a little sweeter.
Yes, I would agree with that.
It's a matter of you know, there's no more residual sugar, perhaps, or maybe just a touch, but it's an intensity of the ripeness of the fruit and stuff. And I think, I mean, definitely these are different wineries. This is Gautheron. Gautheron is now in the hands of the second generation, the son, who's making wine, and a very, very different thing. You know, Domaine de Lys has basically 2 big tanks that are encased in cement. And that's it. Whereas Gautheron is a much bigger operation. They have some very, very fine holdings. And they tend to have, I would say, amongst the greater public, a little more, a better reception because of that. I think they're a little more friendly. The Delice definitely has some of that more flintiness that people are. Mm. But it's a hallmark of the region. And so, again, so just as if there's a takeaway before I move on to a couple of other things I want to mention. In this version of it, remember that when we're talking about, you know, these countries, you know, we'll start with in June and talk, you know, diving into what makes some of these great wine regions great. Understand that some of the things that make them great are these inclinations of the vineyards, and that if, you know, this particular vineyard is on one of these blessed, you know, inclinations, that might be why you pay more. It's more famous, things like that. So just to sort of keep that in mind as we go along. And then next week we're going to be talking about, we'll stay in Burgundy, but we're going to go to the heart of Burgundy. We're going to talk about why historical records influence the choices of some of these things. A couple big things to mention if I have a moment or two.
Please do.
Okay. keep sipping. You'll be okay. at Bangor Wine and Cheese, of course, we're just continuing to rock and roll, and we have our monthly tasting on the 18th from 5 to 8. Please come and check out all the wines that we're talking about this month. And a couple of big pieces of news for Crossroads Beverage. We are moving, not far, but much better location, right on the Triangle. We'll be right next to the Verizon Wireless Zone in the same plaza as the subway, right across from the Irving. So you will not be able to miss us. It's a fantastic new place. And we're going to be offering a little bit more of what you'd see in Bangor Wine and Cheese as well, including, you know, olive bar, more cheese, cured meats. Real focus on the craft and specialty stuff, because frankly, that's what people down there have been demanding, and we're like,
very
sweet,
excited.
That's what we know how to do. And in that vein, we are also going to be introducing a new line of specialty oils and vinegars called Tavolo, and we are really, really excited about them. We are there will be a lot of favorite flavors and things like that. But also some really exciting new stuff, including things like a grapeseed oil for folks who like to do, you know, infusions, like my wife likes to make calendula oil and things like that. So check it out. Lots of exciting things. That the new space will be opening within 2 weeks by Memorial Day weekend. We will be having a big to do. So, yeah, stuff.
I like
good
stuff.
Good
stuff. Stuff is good.
And I hope you're all listening to your radio outside today, because gosh, is it nice.
Yeah, and it's very warm in here in the studio.
It's
again,
rather warm.
We're back.
We need
that
a fan.
Lovely. That bowl, I enjoyed both. Did you have a preference, Ryan, of the two?
I like them both very much.
Yeah, me too.
But I think this, I don't know why, because I had a bad experience with that dessert wine.
Yeah.
Which you told me, I know. Yeah. But I like the sweeter one better, a little bit. And I know residually. Well,
and I enjoyed the Petite Chablis, so I'll take that one.
There you go.
See, teamwork making the difference again.
Love it.
Love it. That's great.
Brilliant.
Eric, thank you much. We'll
thank
see you
gentlemen.
Soon. That's Eric Mann, Bangor Wine and Cheese, Crossroads Beverage Company.